Christ and COVID-19. Let's talk about Christ and COVID-19. This virus, this worldwide virus, is a gentle wake-up call. It is a gentle wake-up call from God. We like to be in control, and when life is predictable, we feel like we are in control. And this plague tells everyone in the whole world that we are not in control. This illness has interrupted and disturbed life in many ways all over the world. And we know that we're not in charge here, and we're working furiously to get back in control. But the most important response is to worship the one who's in control. We want to feel safe, and we don't feel that safe. Too many things are different, and they're in upheaval. Sensible precautions are a good plan, and we will take them. But the best plan is to worship and serve the God who holds life and death in his hands and who raises his people from the dead. Most of us drive cars that have engine lights to warn us when there is trouble. I drive a pickup that does not have those, but most of us have engine lights to tell us when there's something wrong. God triggered the world's engine light, and it is staying on longer than we thought it would. It is a gentle light. A gentle wake-up call. About 1% of the people who get this virus die, and most of those are elderly and weak. That is why I say it is gentle. Most of the people who die from this have already had a long time to decide whether or not they're going to serve God. For most who die, this is not their first warning. It's not their first wake-up call. There are illnesses, for example, that kill a lot more than 1 or 2%. And there are illnesses that attack children. Suppose this virus took the life of 30% of the people that got it, and it was hardest on people in the first 5 years of their life, not in the last five. That would not be gentle. 30% of those who get it die, and those in the first 5 years. And there are illnesses like that. So, this is a gentle call from God. Where is the world heading? We need to remember what kind of a world we live in. My brothers and sisters, we live in a world that on the whole has decided to ignore God. And because of this, human history as we know it will end with an outpouring of God's wrath. No one likes to hear this, but the Bible doesn't leave any doubt. Jesus said, his return would be like the end of Sodom and Gomorrah. Life was going on as usual, and then God protected his people, and the rest died in fire and brimstone. Jesus said his return would be like the flood in Noah's time. Life was going on as usual, God protected his people, and the rest died in the flood. Jesus said that that's how the return of the Son of Man would be. I'm getting that from Luke chapter 17. Paul tells the Thessalonian believers that they turn from idols to serve the living God and to wait for Jesus, who saves us from the coming wrath. The Apostle Peter writes about the coming wrath, and so does John of Zebedee, and so does Hebrews, but mostly Jesus. Most days, I don't like this any better than you do, but in the Bible, there is no ambiguity. That is where this world is heading. So I say, this is a gentle wake-up call to the whole world, to tell the whole world that what we're doing is not working, and we're not safe. So 1 Thessalonians 1 tells us that we wait for Jesus, who saves us from the coming wrath. Chapter 5 says God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through Jesus Christ. So the world is moving toward wrath, my brothers and sisters, and we are moving toward salvation. This is the kind of world we live in. The world is moving toward wrath, and we are moving toward salvation. Keep that. And this line that says in Thessalonians 5 that we're not appointed to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation. And he ends there, encourage one another with these words, he says, just as you are doing. So I want to encourage you about that. In Revelation, when God sent plagues, people suffered, but they refused to repent and turn to God. See, that's what he hoped for. God hoped that when there were things like this, these warnings, these wake-up call, that people would turn from their works and turn toward God. The ones in Revelation, the people just got angrier at God. So we'll see if this warning works any better. So COVID-19 is the kind of event that reminds the Lord's people of how the world will end. And it tries to remind the world also. That does not mean we're in some kind, anything special about the present time. The last days began, in the New Testament, the last days began with the coming of Christ and the coming of the Spirit. And this kind of warning has been happening all along between Christ's first coming and his second coming. In Acts 2, in Hebrews 1, and in 1 John 2, and all of those New Testament writers already consider themselves to be in the last days. The last days started with the first coming of Christ and with the coming of the Holy Spirit. So we are, in that sense, in the last days. And these things have been happening right throughout the last days because of that. See, we usually think human history will go on and on as normal. And then this virus is an awkward interruption. And then when that's over, we'll get back to normal. But folks, that's not how the Bible views these things. In the Bible, this is a little taste of the great disaster to come. Believers do not need to fear this at all. We have turned to God to serve him and wait for Jesus, who saves us from the coming wrath. We're going to be fine. That's why we came to Jesus, because he will rescue us at that time. We are destined for salvation. Just remember what kind of world we live in, and that considering where the world is heading, this is a gentle warning of the final day. And the church is being pruned. That's what's happening now. In John 15, Jesus compared his father to a gardener who prunes a grapevine so it will bear more fruit. Pruning means a gardener cuts off unnecessary branches so that the good vine will bear more grapes. Almost all fruit trees get pruned, and different kinds of plants from which we take a harvest get pruned. Healthy plants get pruned so that they will produce more fruit. When Jesus talks about pruning his followers, he means the Father sends things to us that are unpleasant and painful, like branches being cut off a tree. But the Father does this when the plant is healthy and fruitful, so it will produce even more. This virus prunes the church. It is suddenly harder for believers to remember what our real call is. We get distracted and we lose sight of what used to be clear. Jesus told the story of the sower and the seed, and there were thorns and thistles in that story that choked the plant. And Jesus said the thorns and thistles include the cares of life, the worries of life. The cares and worries of this life choke off real spiritual growth. And we take care of ourselves, and spiritually we shrivel up and produce nothing. And they do this simply by distracting us. And now, my brothers and sisters, COVID-19 boosted the cares of life way up. And the distractions that take us away from following the Lord have gotten intense. So, our call has not changed. We love God. And we will trust God completely. And we will make God our refuge and our helper. And we will serve him. And we will do the serving above all by paying attention to one another, taking care of one another, staying connected as we are able to connect with one another. And as much as it's possible within us, as much as it depends on us, we will live at peace with everyone. Are we facing evil human powers here? Some of us are convinced that dark human powers are behind this, either behind the virus itself, or behind the restrictions that isolate us from each other. I'm going to take that up, but I doubt it. COVID-19 is a plague. God has been sending famines and plagues and pestilences since the beginning of time. He sends natural disasters, floods, famines, earthquakes, hurricanes, tsunamis. In the Bible, God has done this all along to remind us that we're not in control and that we should submit to the Creator. So this virus right now has flared up all over, certainly in our part of Manitoba. And as a result, government restrictions are getting more and more intense. And this convinces some people that the government has dangerous motives. Let's think. The virus hits the weak and elderly the hardest, and quite a few of these have died. And this virus is unusually contagious. It spreads easily. So, the government restricts what the young and healthy can do in order to protect the weak and the aged. The government restricts what the young and healthy can do to protect the weak and the aged. This is not an evil agenda. I think that's just actually what God hopes for from government. That's why God set up government in the first place. And the virus is spreading and increasing, so the rules get stricter. So people, this does not make the government evil. I don't like being told what to do. None of us like that, and we're not used to being told what to do like this. All kinds of things are being limited or cut or ruled out that we have done without giving it a second thought, and we're tired of it, and we're frustrated. And that makes perfect sense. But our government is not used to making rules like this either. They're trying to manage something that feels nearly out of control, and they're trying to bring order back, which is just what God intends them to do. I have a sympathy for leaders in this. So we, the elders here of this church, since March, have had to decide how our church will and will not meet. We've had to do this repeatedly, and it has been exhausting. And every time, we have been more careful than some of you thought was necessary, and not as careful as others of you thought necessary. And we have not easily agreed with ourselves, among ourselves either. So the medical leaders are telling the government what's happening and how the virus works, and the government tries to make rules that put the brakes on the virus while basic life keeps going. So we don't like the restrictions, that's for sure, and sometimes the government feels clumsy and mistaken to us. Well, of course, sometimes they're not, but sometimes they really are. But I'm sure we elders sometimes look clumsy and mistaken to you too, and we still do. So I have grumbled enough about our restrictions myself. I have certainly done that, but I don't think that's right, and I am becoming less inclined to do that. So let's talk about God and government. God and government. Let us assume for now that evil human forces are behind this, either behind the virus in the first place or behind the restrictions that are happening. Okay, let's assume that evil human forces are at work here. The Bible is clear about all human leaders. I'm reading from Jeremiah 27, starting in verse 5. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Jeremiah 27:5. With my great power and outstretched arm, I made the earth and its people and the animals that are on it, and I give it to anyone I please. And now I will give all your countries into the hands of my servant Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. I will make even the wild animals subject to him. All nations will serve him and his son and his grandson until the time for his land comes, and then many nations and great kings will enslave him. If, however, any nation or kingdom will not serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, or bow its neck under his yoke, I will punish that nation with the sword, famine, and plague, declares the Lord, until I destroy it by his hand. So, do not listen to your prophets. He goes on, and we'll stop there. So, Nebuchadnezzar is a pagan, and he's arrogant, and he is attacking God's people. And it looks like he has gotten too powerful, but God said, I give your countries into the hand of my servant, the king of Babylon. Because before that, he says, I made everything on earth, and I give it to anyone I please. I give it to anyone I please. And right now, I'm giving it to Nebuchadnezzar. And you will serve him, and if you don't, I'm coming after you, and don't listen to your prophets. This is a very evil king. Daniel chapter 4, verse 17. Daniel 4, 17. The Most High is sovereign over all kingdoms on earth, and he gives them to anyone he wishes. And he sets over them the lowliest of people. Daniel 4:25. 7 years will pass by for you, Nebuchadnezzar, until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over all kingdoms on earth, and he gives them to anyone he wishes. Verse 35. The Most High does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of earth. Daniel 5:21. The Most High God is sovereign over all kingdoms on earth and sets over them anyone he wishes. So now Jesus at the end of Matthew, he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Revelation 1. Grace and peace to you from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Folks, God is profoundly political. He is deeply politically involved. God is not simply greater than human powers. God actively picks all human leaders. God does not ignore human leaders, and he does not wait to see who will win the election or the battle. God picks the leader, and the person that wins the election and the battle is the one that God chose. Sometimes, Daniel said, God is pleased to set over them the lowliest of people. God can put anyone he wants as the leader of the world. And he has picked some unusual, unlikely people to be very powerful rulers. So, here's the point, my brothers and sisters. We are dealing with God either way. If COVID-19 has no human source, or if it is from evil humans, if governments are friendly, or if they are hostile, it makes no difference. We are dealing with God in every case, because he tells us clearly that he sets over us whom he pleases. And the warning in Jeremiah was that God's people were told by God to submit to Babylon. In Revelation, it says in Revelation 12:12 that the beast was given authority over every tribe, people, tongue, and nation. This authority was given to the beast. Who gave him that? The Most High God. Just like in Daniel. John of Revelation knows Daniel very well. Listen, the beast gets his authority from God, just like every other human leader. Let's move over to fear. Whom shall we fear? I have prayed for our church from time to time, that God would take fear out of our thinking, and that as we evaluate each other and God and life and COVID and what we're going to do, that fear would not be a part of it. We would have other thinking, but fear would not shape our thinking. Isaiah 8 was written at a time when rumors and fears in Judah were going wild. Isaiah 7 says the hearts of the king and of his people were shaking as the trees of the forest shake in the wind. Everyone was terrified because enemies were plotting to destroy Judah, or so they all thought. And in Isaiah 8, in this time of fears and rumors, God takes Isaiah aside and warns him privately. Verses 11 to 13. Isaiah 8. This is what the Lord says to me. This is God, this is Isaiah's testimony to us. This is what the Lord says to me. with his strong hand upon me, warning me not to follow the way of this people. Do not call conspiracy everything this people calls a conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear. Do not dread it. Make the Lord Almighty your Holy One. Let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. God put a strong hand on Isaiah and warned him not to be afraid like the rest. Do not follow their way. See, here's our choice, people. We can fret about human fears and conspiracies and disasters, or we can make the Lord Almighty our Holy One. It's that simple. We can fret about human fears and conspiracies and disasters, or we can make the Lord Almighty our Holy One. If we fret about human fears and disasters and conspiracies, human kings and powers, we are not making the Lord Almighty our Holy One. We must pick. And this is God's strong hand of warning on the prophet himself. Don't you be like them. I am the Lord Almighty, or I am not. And we choose by what we fear. And this is why I said at the start, we're not in control and we don't like it. The best response is to worship the one who's in control. That's what God's telling Isaiah. I'm going to read it again. Do not call conspiracy everything this people calls conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear. Do not dread it. Make the Lord Almighty your Holy One. Let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. And this is a warning with the Lord's strong hand to the prophet himself, and he's telling us because it's to all of us. Romans 13:1 says, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist, he repeats, have been established by God. Okay? He said it twice. I'll say it a third time. The authorities that exist were established by God. So Paul has been reading Jeremiah and Daniel. In the following verses, Paul writes, the one in authority is God's servant. They are God's servant. The authorities are God's servants. So God called Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, my servant Nebuchadnezzar. And so we obey the authorities because we fear God alone. And our God says he established all the authorities and he wants his children to submit to them. Paul had been persecuted by every level of Jewish and Roman government. But he's still completely clear on this. Even when governments have their dark side, God established them. And he intends us to be subject to them. Paul writes at length on this only to the church at Rome. It seems that the church in Rome despised the government, and they felt free to ignore it. Rome was the ruling city of the world at that time, another Babylon. And these people lived there, and they seen too much. They're disgusted. That was not God's way. And God writes clearly about this. Listen, my brothers and sisters, if the beast itself posts a new speed limit, that will be our speed limit, because Jesus is our Lord. If the beast itself raises taxes, we will pay taxes, because Jesus is our Lord. If the beast says to worship him, we won't. If he says to deny Christ, we won't, because Jesus is our Lord. But we will keep his speed limit and pay his taxes, because Jesus is our Lord. But we will not fear the beast, and we will not worry about him. We will not follow the way of the people or listen to their prophets. We will make the Lord Almighty our Holy One. He will be our fear, our dread, and we will remember that Jesus saves us from the coming wrath, and we will give thanks to God. We are moving towards salvation through Christ Jesus. Jesus is coming back. This is the first Sunday of Advent. Advent means coming, and in Advent we remember both comings, the first coming of our Lord, which has already happened, and his second coming, when we finally get to see the Lord and be with him. And when he comes back, he will rule over everything that gives us trouble. He will be our government. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. That's where we are heading. That's the salvation for which we are destined. So let's pray, people, that what God wants to see done, what God wants to get done with COVID-19 will happen. That His Spirit will see it done. Pray that people in the world will see the God who hopes to get their attention, and they will turn to God. Pray that God's people will not fall away, but be purified and strengthened. This virus strains our church unity in different ways. We have different ways of understanding the virus and responding to it, and it is much harder than before to connect with each other at all. But the bond that the Spirit made between us is very strong. Let's resolve to guard it. And since we know that this is from God one way or the other, we know that we can still live in His ways. We can still please Him. So let's be gracious with each other and give each other lots of room to be different. Let's serve each other and take care of each other as we are able. Here's what our unity rests on. Seven pillars. This is from Ephesians 4. Okay? Seven things that bind us together. One body, that's one church. One body and one Spirit. One baptism and one Lord. One faith and one hope. And one God and Father who is over all and through all and in all. And that's what binds us together. One body and one Spirit, one baptism, one Lord, one faith, one hope, one God and Father who is over all and through all and in all. So we will celebrate these and thank God for these. And after that, we will be very different from each other, and we will know that God enjoys the differences. And in the world, as much as we can, we will live at peace with all people. It's the meek who will inherit the earth. Amen. Let us pray. Let's pray. O Lord Jesus, may we, your people, be a credit to you. We like to make you look good. You say that we are the light of the world. A city set on a hill which cannot be hidden. People should see how we live and glorify your Father. We want to bring glory to Him and to you. We'd like to show the world what you are like. I'm sure, Lord, that in some ways we're doing this and in others I'm sure we're not. Oh God, Psalm 25 says that because you are good and upright, you teach sinners in your ways, and you guide the humble in what is right. We are sinners. O God, teach us your ways, and guide us all in what is right. And God, these isolation restrictions are very hard on some of us. Have mercy on us. Have mercy on those who can hardly stand how much they have to be alone. Lord, it's very difficult for them. Hear their prayers. Open your heart to their distress. Hold them fast with your strong right hand. Be gracious to them. Amen. Will you rise, please, for the benediction? This is from Psalm 20. May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May He send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from His temple. May he remember all your sacrifices and accept all your offerings. May we shout for joy over your victory. May the Lord grant all your requests. Amen. Go in God's peace to love and serve the Lord. You are dismissed.